Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. And welcome to Community of Grace, the adult Sunday school. Welcome all of you in Facebook. We are going to today discuss Ruth chapter 2, 8 through 18 verses. So, do you want to not read today?
I can read.
Okay.
Only you don't mind New King James.
That's what I have. So if you would like to read 6, or excuse me, 8 through 10, that first, I was going to say that first box, but you don't have boxes. Oh, before we do that, I apologize. One thing we've had trouble with in the studies in this book is we keep thinking about what's ahead when we're trying to focus on the verses. So let's start. What do we know so far about Boaz?
Well, he's older than Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
He is...
Where did you find that?
Oh, that comes up. We talked about this. We talked about this in the previous weeks. Probably older than her.
So not in the text.
It's not stated, but we talked about this, and it's probably likely he was older than her.
According to some references I looked at, they expected that Boaz was about 80, and Ruth was about 40.
Hmm.
That means, yeah, I found that interesting. That means Ruth would have married in her 30s, which means that for some reason...
I wonder how people come up with those.
Yeah.
That's not in the text.
Yeah. Anyway, he was part of a wealthy clan, and of course he notices Ruth. He's heard of her. And so at this point, that's really, what we know right now. He's obviously got land and...
Well, we learned at the very beginning that he was a man of great wealth, but it's noble character. Same phrase is used for Gideon, mighty man of valor. So just in that opening thing, we have a statement about his character and his position.
The word that I saw was that he was Goel, a kinsman, which is saying more than a relative.
We don't find that in your text yet. Not there yet. That's next week's lesson.
I thought that was from last week. Okay.
No.
Sorry. Thank you.
The word for relative is a much more general one.
Yeah.
Than the kinsman.
Yeah, okay. You were talking about him more like an acquaintance than.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a teaser word. The author knows where you're going to go, but he has not revealed this kinsman redeemer issue yet.
Yeah, that would come.
We do see from before that he seems to have a very good relationship with his workers.
Mm-hmm.
Respectful and honoring each other. He seems to be very well respected in the community. One of the things we also know is that when Elimelech and Naomi left, he stayed and he prospered greatly.
Yeah.
The Bethlehemites in general seem to have weathered the storm. They overcame circumstance. Mm-hmm. That's my observation. According to research, Boaz was the grandson of Nahshon, who was prince of the tribe of Judah in the wilderness, and the son of Salmon, who was probably a younger son by Rahab. So he is in the line of David.
There again, not in the text we've seen so far. I mean, you're trying to develop this
yes,
as we go.
But that's also where... I did my prequel first day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we know about Ruth?
She's a person of character. she's a person that is changing in that she has, she's a Moabite, but she has basically just walked away from the Moabite life, and she has totally embraced Naomi's God, Naomi's people, all of this. And so she's a widow, poor, but a very humble and respectful person.
And from what we've seen, can we yet say that she seems resourceful and diligent? Or, okay.
I would say so.
Yeah. All right. And she made a covenant with Naomi.
Right.
Which means, well, which infers that they have developed a very strong relationship, that she has, as you mentioned, rejected the Moabite gods and accepted Judaism, and was willing to leave her birth country, her family, her gods behind, everything except Naomi.
She must have seen something in Naomi's character, as well as the family connection.
So, if we jump a little, instead of reading 10, let's go 11 through 12, Jim? Second box? Or
you were going to have me read from 8, but we didn't do that.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm awake, but barely. Okay, so if you'll go ahead and read from 8 to 8 and 9, actually.
Okay. I'm going to take the liberty of doing a little background here. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Boaz has arrived, and he's asked about this woman. Turns out to be Ruth. And then he approaches her. That's where we are at 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn."
Okay, so imagine we have a highlighter or a pen and you're underlining. Go through and pick out the things that Boaz has offered Ruth, literally and figuratively.
Well, basically, it's just, you know what? Don't go to the other fields. Stay with my field. Follow the reapers and just glean from here. And then there's the assurance of protection, because you know he says, I've commanded the young men not to touch you. You can go drink from where the workers drink. So he's extended a great kindness to a gleaner here.
Mm-hmm.
I was struck by his first words, where he says, "My daughter."
Yes.
So, not you Moabite, but it's like she's a daughter of Israel. Yeah. And she will be under his protection as family.
Yeah.
He's talking girl. That is what she needs to hear.
Yes.
He's speaking in her language. Exactly what she needs to hear.
Yeah. This is also another reference to the age difference.
Ah.
In addition
yes.
to that, is daughter refers to his daughter. In addition to what you said, is because he is older than her.
That would make plenty of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with the 40 and 80 thing, but I definitely agree with older than.
The way I broke it down, he's offered her provision, gave her directions how to be successful in the gleaning. She's given permission to drink from his own vessels instead of having to fend for herself. Safety, certainly. Safety in numbers and told the men to leave her alone. Affirmation, it's been fully reported. No, that's the next one. Sorry.
See, and the other thing here too is that when he tells her about drinking from where the workers drink, rather than her having to scramble around and look for water,
right.
This way she can glean more. She doesn't have to go looking for water. It's right here. It's available mm-hmm. to you, so you can get the most out of your gleaning. So
because
she's really looking out for her.
She certainly wouldn't have been familiar with what her best options would have been.
Yeah.
And certainly these are. This is not the. Not what a gleaner gets.
Right.
Yeah, he has to. The gleaner, if it's a woman, has to bring his own supplies, his own lunch, everything, and he's just at the. He gets the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if they're generous, then he gets good. But no, they don't. They have no obligation to take care of him.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and read 11 and 12 and. Same question.
Okay. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me that you have done for your mother-in-law what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge."
So I can see three things here that we can say that he's speaking to her. What do you see?
Her reputation is known.
Yeah.
He may not have recognized her, but once he was told, it's that Ruth
yeah.
who came with Naomi.
Yeah.
And then, I've heard all this. So that reputation comes into play.
So he's,
and I'm thinking this is God's nudging and said, "Take care of her. She's my daughter."
He's giving her affirmation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Well, I think in addition to all this is also that not only has he heard all these things about her, you know, he sees her character, the kind of person she is. You know, I mean, a lot of people look at the story, and I would say ignorantly just look at it as this is more of a romantic story of, you know, people of more of the closer in age and everything, but there might have been some attraction there, but there was also this appreciation for who she was as a person and the things that have been said.
And one thing that he is definitely acknowledging is her courage.
Yeah, I mean,
and
she has She has left her nation,
mm-hmm. her
She's
family,
left everything, her family, everything to come
culture.
And be a part of Naomi's people.
And then in verse 12, he speaks blessing over her.
Mm-hmm.
How many gleaners would he do that for?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so if we go to 10 and 13, we see how Ruth has responded. So in 10, she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And then afterward, then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." So what do we see about how Ruth responds?
Well, when she's grateful, but the other thing is that she's like going, you know, I'm a Moabite. Why are you treating me this way? I mean, I'm grateful, but this is who I am, you know.
So you're saying there's a dichotomy between how Ruth is seeing herself and how Boaz is seeing her.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Anything else?
I mean, she has left everything. You know, he's like seeing this person who has left everything to become like us. And she's saying, you know, and he's embracing that. And she's saying, why are you treating this way? I'm this.
So she's showing a lot of humility.
Oh, she's got humility coming
out of her pores.
Yeah.
I'm also struck by the relationship between that reputation, what she has done, and grace,
yeah.
Favor.
Yes.
Because God has been in play for all this to bring news to Naomi that there's food, the decision, and then she happens across his field. Boaz happens to be there. All this, God is moving into place.
Yeah.
But the answer Boaz gives is, I've heard about you. So there's grace, and then there's your part. And that's not easy to always tell what's going on there, but here clearly both are involved.
Yeah. You know, the other thing with this, when you look at this exchange, is character appreciates character.
Yeah.
Okay. People of character will appreciate the character of other people. And so you have two people here of high character, and they notice this with each other, they respect this and appreciate this with each other.
And then people who wear animal shirts would
that's
get...
That's not a question of character, that's just taste.
There's just something else, I know I'm just coming in. But even last night, I saw something about the difference between how the Lord sees us and how we see ourselves. Kind of like, you know, what mirror are we looking into? What reflection are we seeing?
Yeah.
And that's kind of goes along with...
Well, that's, that goes back to the skit that we did about a month ago.
Yeah.
Where what does Jesus see in the camera and how are we seeing ourselves?
Yeah, that was a great skit.
So, do you want to read verse 14?
Sure.
We're about 4 from the bottom.
Okay. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Do you want me to read the commentary?
No, I'll go ahead. When Boaz invites Ruth to share lunch with the crew. Again, how many gleaners?
Yeah.
With everything else he has offered, what does this give to Ruth that she has not had since leaving Moab?
Acceptance.
Inclusion. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a charged word nowadays, but...
Feeling of hope and security.
Mm-hmm. Favor.
Yeah. Being placed in a place of high honor that she may not have expected. I mean, not... Well,
but, yeah...
Well, maybe it's
I would say careful with that, because she's being treated as one of the crew.
True.
Not
true.
Like,
yeah, not
the head of the table.
I wasn't thinking
so,
she
no,
was
that's,
treated
no, that,
enough, but yeah.
I'm just saying, to me, that was something I
good
was very conscious of.
Yeah, good distinction.
So the inclusion, she's... still, like you said, has that dichotomy where she's thinking she's a Moabite. He's thinking all of these other things that he has said to her. And now he's including her along with all the other people that he has close to him. So there's the familial relationship. There's the spiritual relationship. We've talked about how the veracity of Ruth's conversion up to this point. Has she fully converted, or does that come later? Boaz seems to think and respond to her as if she's fully converted. Mm-hmm. And like I said, part of the crew. She's not looked at as a burden. She's not looked as a foreigner. She's looked at as part of the group.
I mean, it's been said before, she's being treated beyond that of a normal gleaner, way beyond.
Yeah. But at this point, she should start to see that she can now feel that inclusion. And her self-image should, to use another loaded word, should hopefully be improving.
Not to look ahead too much, but knowing where this is going, at this point we see Boaz is being generous, but he's not costing him too much. He's just making this arrangement for her, and then he goes away.
Mm-hmm.
May see her often, but there's no great cost to him. And so that's part of the development of the story I see.
Okay.
More in chapter 3.
And it's also, he's not taking a lot of time to come to this point. So it's inherent to him, it would seem. Okay.
He's not coming in on the horse and sweeping her up, going off to the castle.
Not usually
not
what you do the first time you meet somebody, unless it's in one of those.
Mm-hmm.
15, Jim? Yeah, the other Jim. Fred? You never heard things like that before.
And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her."
So Boaz gives her crew special instructions regarding Ruth and how and her gleaning. What words come to mind when we read them? There's one word that I'm sure we've used couple dozen times so far in this.
Incredible favor towards her.
Yeah.
Above and beyond, you know.
The question can also be posed, how much is it for her and how much of it is also keeping Naomi in mind?
Yes, exactly.
That's one thing that we haven't really entered into the conversation. But Boaz is also probably considering his relative,
mm-hmm.
Naomi,
mm-hmm.
in
Absolutely.
Providing her all these perks.
Absolutely.
Even letting her get away with a doggy bag.
Exactly the word that came to my mind in the course of that section there.
Well, yeah, because if here at this meal, I mean, she keeps back some.
Well,
she's keeping it back for Naomi.
Exactly.
What is Ruth's purpose for being there?
Well, she's gathering for her and Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
She's providing
and her household.
Caring. Yes.
Yeah.
So here we come back to what is her purpose?
Yeah.
And the other Jim, do you want to finish the text? He knows better than to smack me because it's not going to do any significant damage, regardless of whether I deserve it or not.
Yeah. Before you go on here, I think it should be stated that this thing about giving permission for her to glean among the sheaves, this is huge because this was something gleaners were not allowed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he's going against the established principle and letting her do this. And then it's even, you know what, it's like, let some of the grain fall from the bundles deliberately.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all these special considerations for her. I mean, you talk about, he's not putting out more or taking risk, but he's doing all these things that are just speaking volumes here.
Well, he's included her in the crew for her safety and her productivity.
Right.
So it's almost like he's providing for her to get the same thing as the rest of his maidservants would.
Yeah. Okay, 17?
Yes, please. Now, before you do this, I'm assuming you're going to start here, so that's why I'm leaving it. Leave most of the commentary for you.
You're referring to next week?
Yes.
Oh. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied.
So not only grain that needs to be processed, but she brought dinner.
Yeah, that's nice.
So how do you see Naomi responding here, reacting?
Well, it's probably a little bit farther on in the verse.
Yeah.
Or the next chapter, but
they
really didn't state in this section here.
Well, no, we can.
At this point, we'd have to guess.
Well, yeah. we can.
Imagine she'd be.
Think about how would she react to
very appreciative
Naomi, Ruth bringing home an ephah and extra food.
Yeah.
We don't have to go in further to see that the twinkle in her eye has started, but. She's got to be like, whoa, what happened here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ephah, being a measured person, is about a cubic foot.
Oh, okay.
So that's an awful lot.
Put that in weight. Cleaning.
What?
Put that in weight.
I can't.
It's about 5 pounds, maybe? I'm thinking.
Try 55 to 60.
55 to 60 pounds?
For a cubic foot?
That's what the commentator said.
I was.
That's got to be pretty darn dense.
Like 5 pound sack of flour or something.
I would think a cubic foot of concrete wouldn't weigh that much, but
wow,
I'm not going to question.
This isn't the loose sheaves.
She's shaking it out.
Right. She's got the grain isolated. Which
that's true.
On a large steak scale, you don't do that until after all the harvest. But a gleaner has to do it now.
You ever picked up a sack of seed?
Well, yeah.
100 pounds
maybe,
is a sack like about that big. That's 100 pounds. And so she's got, it's heavy.
No.
It's heavy.
And she had to take it back to the city.
She's got a 55 to 60 pound.
How did she get it back? I mean, did she have an animal? Did anyone carry it for her? Did she drag it? I mean,
I don't know.
Well, if it's like a cubic foot, then it doesn't have take up a whole lot of area. She was probably had a sling where she could put the what she gleaned, so she's probably got a sling in front of her.
Well,
I guess.
Still seems like hard to carry for one person.
Especially somebody who is probably only double that much weight on her own.
Yeah.
Speculating.
And
nothing to base that on.
And all of this is that limited generosity where he doesn't offer her a donkey or my men will carry it. You still have to glean it.
Yep.
And
you carry it home. You process it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But... so that's that cooperation with making it available, and then she
has
to.
I wonder. I mean, that raises a question. This is some of these things that he step back and offer them and give them and sit back and go, okay, let's see what you do with that.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, kind of like, okay, You've proven yourself to be this. Let's see what you do with this. Ah, good, good. Okay, now let's see what you do with this. Oh, I like that. Okay, good.
So he hasn't made it, so she's just sitting on the edge of the field drinking a glass of sweet tea. She's
right.
She's still.
He wouldn't respect that kind of a person anyway.
He's
God, can't you make this easier?
He's made it as easy as possible for her to be productive. But she still has to do the stuff.
Right. And she herself, it seems like, she'll go above and beyond what she was given, you know, in appreciation and to provide for Naomi. Hmm.
So you got two people going above and beyond.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning and go back through how we've answered some of these. And see how this is a picture of how God is with us. How do we see Jesus in this? When we talked about Boaz, for instance, we see where Boaz stayed in God's country and prospered. Elimelech goes to Moab and doesn't. So, where are we better in bad circumstance? Are we better in the house of the Lord or out elsewhere? So what else can we think of when we think of what we knew about Boaz? He had a good relationship with his workers, respectful and honoring. And he seemed to be well respected in the community.
Comparing him to Jesus, Boaz knew her reputation. He paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he approached her. She really couldn't have approached him. No, you don't do that.
Right.
But this is a picture of God reaching out to us. He makes the initiative.
Mm-hmm. And then if you follow that train of thought, then you have the Lord gives us everything we need, but there's still some things we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But of course with Jesus, that's part of it is, I'm not going to, as you put, sit, do it all for you so you can just sit back and have a drink. It's about providing, but also you growing and working with me and all these other kind of things. Because it's about growing us. It's about developing
us.
What do we know about Ruth that we can see about our relationship with God? You were saying he's taken notice of her
humility, realization that she is not part of God's family, and being totally grateful for favor given.
Someone who is far off has been brought near.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because that is also a commentary on a lot of people in that there are people that they have become God's children, but they don't fully see themselves as that. They still see themselves as Moabites. And Ruth is like, Boaz is saying, like, you have made this huge leap, and she's saying, but I'm this.
Mm-hmm.
And Boaz is saying, no, you have made a change, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. And she's like going, yeah, but I'm just this.
What you were saying when you first got here.
Oh, yeah. How I see. Yeah. And it's, you know, we've mentioned this before, but it's also a foreshadowing or a type or a picture of the Gentiles being grafted in.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
exactly. Those who are far off have been brought near.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to say that for years I was in that place, and then suddenly God showed me that what my identity was and my relationship with him has shifted dramatically.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of believers out there that have not made that shift yet.
Yep.
Yeah.
What would be one thing about God that doesn't necessarily correlate to correspond to Ruth. When he looks at us and invites us in, we don't have to be humble. We don't have to be this for him to approach. Again, he doesn't see us as we are. He sees us as we will be or can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
We were talking about why the limitation, the generosity, but the limitation. Well, maybe he's seeing where she's going to go with this. It reminds me a little bit of you've got mail. Well, are you going to tell her? No, I'm going to tweak her a little bit more.
Mm.
Oh, the movie.
The movie, yeah. The movie.
Taking us all back, shifting the dial. What can we see? We've talked about how Boaz provided, but didn't do it all for him. How can we relate that to how God deals with us?
Well, it's like I said earlier. Mm-hmm, I mean, this is exactly mm-hmm. what he does, mm-hmm. because it's also about growing and developing us, teaching us and training us and strengthening mm-hmm. us. And if God does everything, then if you do everything for somebody, then you rob them of opportunity mm-hmm. to grow and learn and develop and things mm-hmm. like that.
If for those of you who have raised children, if you do everything for them, what is going to happen to them?
Spoiled, unappreciative, mm-hmm. not mature.
Therefore, mm-hmm. a father is going to work with mm-hmm. his children.
Right.
So with everything, let's pull back some of the things that Boaz offered Ruth that we can see God in. Yeah, as you mentioned, the first thing that he said was daughter. So a familial offer. We talked about provision, safety, affirmation, acknowledgement of her courage, and then speaks a blessing. Anyone want to add any reaction to any of those?
It's pretty good. Covers.
Well, I'll just say what I said before is that he doesn't see us as we were. He sees us as we are now and where we're going. Because again, she keeps saying, I'm this. And he's treating her like, no, you're this.
So,
yeah.
The fact you keep going back to the same place, it's a recurring theme.
I love verse 12. The Lord, this is Boaz talking.
Yes.
The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So it's not all about Boaz. Boaz is.
Yeah.
You have placed yourself under God's protection, His umbrella, His wing, and there's this blessing, this prophecy, shall we say, a reward will be given to you by the Lord. That was tremendous.
And given that we've said everything we've said about it, if He has this attitude toward her, this realization, he'd be a fool to be less than, I don't want to use, not cordial, but accommodating and accepting.
It's a guess, but I think God has given Boaz enough realization of who Ruth is and the purpose, just enough so that he realizes this is God's chosen child. I don't know everything about her, but I need to protect her as somebody chosen by God. No, I don't think he has a full realization, but just enough in there to act like he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, under wing, that is acceptance. That's protection. You know.
That's being close. Under the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And then going back again, there is inclusion where before there was separation, mm-hmm. isolation. Ruth was felt isolated. The only person she had to count on, she thought, was Naomi. Who else does she know? Who else would give a whit for her? But Boaz shows, just like God does, that we have a place. We are not on our own.
But, you know, before all of that, Ruth made the decision to go with Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Once she made that decision, then things started to change. And it's just like in our relationship, you know. Yes, we come to Jesus, we receive Him, and all of a sudden everything changes.
Oh, excuse me. Jim, why don't you go ahead and close? I'm not sure I could get it out right now.
Mm. Well, Father, we just thank you for this wonderful book, and we thank you for the story we looked at today. Father, I just thank you that this is a message to all of us, that we all can make the choice to come to you. And that as we come to you, Lord, you protect, you accept, you provide, you work with us. And you show us kindness, you show us favor. We just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we just thank you for the lessons in this story. And I just pray, Lord, that we would all be like both of these people that we talked about today. People that walk in humility. People that are good receivers, but also people that are accepting and forgiving and kind to one another, God. I just thank you, Lord, for all the things you do, all the things you're doing. And we just praise you. And we just give you glory. And we pray. Amen.